T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the voice of the New Orleans Saints, Mike Haas, and Mike will be with us. And Mike, you got the early bird special, 4 to 6 tomorrow at the Saints camp. And y'all get to talk to all the brass there.
Yeah, we're talking to Coach Dennis Allen, Mickey. We'll also talk with Clint Kubiak. Really, the first time I've had a chance to talk to him. And it's a whirlwind of Michael Parenton and Jeff
Michael
Ireland.
Parenton, let me tell you something. Mike trying to pass. He's from the Bayou, you know. He's from Thibodeau.
Very well.
He went to E.D. White, man. Yep. He went to Tulane, but he was he's worked his way up the ladder real quick.
Nice. So we're looking forward to that, Deuce and I did kind of the lead-in, 4 to 6, and then you guys will be at Las Cruces Tex-Mex, 6 to 11 right there. It's off of Airline, right on the service road, right as you go down kind of where you're coming up towards the Rouses, but on the other side, on that service road, on the other side of send me that damn street. Anyway, it's a little tricky to get to, but we'll be there 6 to 11, and I've already heard the food's fantastic.
Food's there is excellent. I've had some people, relatives of mine, that tell me they've been there, and it's awesome. So we're looking forward to doing it. And then Friday we'll be at Hooters in Metairie. And Saturday will be a long one, but we'll be there from 11 till 6. Myself, along with Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Charlie will man things up here. Steve Geller will join us also, and Jeff Nowak will be at the Saints camp. Mike, I don't think they're keeping all 7 picks in day 3. I'd be shocked at that.
I didn't think it was possible to have 7 picks in day 3. And certainly this football team, without a 3 and the 4, the third pick was still part of the Sean Payton deal. So as we were talking earlier about James Hurst, and so you got 4 5s, one of which is yours, and then 3 compensatory, 2 6s and a 7. You've got now to work your way up into that third or fourth, if not both, because offensive line depth, I don't know that in this draft, as deep as it is in some positions, you want to be without a 3rd and 4.
I agree, man. Try to get you as many top 100 or 120 players as you can get. And not having that 3rd and 4th round picks is really difficult. So you got a little bit of maneuvering to do at that point, and a huge hole along the offensive line. I think you need some help at defensive tackle. Safety is another spot. I think, Mike, they got to look at that really, really hard. Along with, I always believe if it's a thick class, there's always a little spillover. Wide receiver. I think that's a spot later on that you may have a guy ranked much higher than where he's fallen, because other teams have sort of, okay, I feel my need at wide receiver, I'm going to another position. And a wideout that you've got ranked high kind of falls to you. I think last year, A.T. Perry was that way. I think A.T. was a guy they thought would go much higher than he did, and you were able to grab him. And he was productive last year, especially down the stretch.
Oh, my God. It was kind of like Juwan Johnson in his earlier. All he does is catch touchdowns. 12 receptions, 4 of them were touchdowns. But to me, the impressive part about him was his ability to go up and get it, to win the competitive balls, to do the jump balls, to have that kind of, my kind of possession receiver, fade routes, end zone, that kind of thing. For a guy that only caught 12 passes, that's pretty impressive.
I agree with you. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike. Mike, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, is Mike Haas is still there, correct?
Yeah, he is. He's here.
I ain't going nowhere. How you doing, Jimmy?
All right. Hey, look. Yeah, doing good, man. James Madison's doing what they're doing, man. They got all those rich alums. They're going to really pump rich up that alums. Program in football.
Man, Jimmy knew about money, Mike. Don't interrupt.
All right. Yeah, listen, guys, I might need to borrow $5, Mike.
I got you, baby. I got you back on that.
Listen, okay, in all seriousness, okay, how much have we seen the paradigm shift as far as, you know, like Sean Payton? You know, Mickey Loomis, I felt like as a fan, got a lot of credit for picking talent. And then Sean Payton left. And it's not an exact science. He may or may not have been doing this and that, the master, the bean counter, the accountant and all that. But with Sean Payton gone, you know, how much influence, who's really calling the shots going into the next couple days? And, you know, I really think, and I've told this to Mr. Dettillier and Charlie before, I think Bill Belichick, namely at the running back position, Mr. Dettillier, the situation, because, you know, there's two mics there, the situation where you see guys like Bill Belichick and Sean Payton kind of made it popular to just get these undrafted running backs, and now you're seeing it at wide receiver, you know, and the whole premise being, you saw it with Colson being a late-round guy, like, look, you're going to start early. We're going to give you a chance to compete for the starting job. And I really think Belichick and Sean Payton popularized that in the NFL because they said, you know what, let's go ahead and get these running backs and wide receivers dirt cheap. They're going to move here to New Orleans. They don't have, and they might not have kids yet. They might not have a wife yet. Their point is they're willing to die for the ball, right? As opposed to some veteran who's got $40 million in the bank and they're not going to go over the middle. They're not going to beat their body up. You bring in an undrafted rookie free agent running back, yeah, they're willing to do anything to get a yard. And I think they popularized that. And how much that's affected the running back stock in the NFL draft. But I'm asking you, Mike Haas, who is really the one calling the shots? Because, you know, for years I felt like the media was saying Mickey Loomis was the one who really had a lot of influence. But I mean, it seems like we missed on some, and, you know, namely Trevor Penning. I hope that works out. It's not over with Peyton Turner. I know there's a lot of guys on our team still who kind of like people consider, you know, we cut ties with Davenport. Just seems like we've just, I don't know. And I know some of that was during the tenure of Sean Payton still, but who's really calling the shots and how much was it Sean Payton and how much was it Mickey Loomis?
Well, I mean, in the end, as it stands right now, it's Mickey's choice.
He's always said he's got the final choice.
He is the executive vice president and general manager. So no matter what, you know, there's banter and talk and Jeff Ireland and Parenton and Dennis Allen and a lot of people have the scouts, you know, in that region. But in the end, if there's a discrepancy or a tie, he is the tiebreaker. And I do believe maybe Sean might have held more weight at the end of his tenure, but it was still Mickey that in the end was the one making the call.
Sean always wanted toys, offensive toys. Yeah. That was his deal. But listen, he's an offensive coach. I get it. Jeff Ireland's got a lot of power behind the scenes now because, okay, this is his job, scouting, evaluating players. But at the end, it comes down to where you've got to be with the head coach and Dennis Allen now, along with Mickey, to find the right fit players for your team. Okay, not everybody's Watusi. Okay, you got to be able to figure out what's best for you. So to answer the question, Jeff Ireland's got a lot of power behind the scenes, but as Mike said, that final choice is Mickey Loomis. He becomes the judge at the end to make that decision on where they go with this. But, you know, they got scouts involved and Jeff involved, Mike Parrington's involved. Dennis Allen certainly's got a say in this, along with assistant coaches.
Clint Kubiak. It's a whole new draft, right? There's so much newness to this. We just don't know.
The other thing, too, is, and kind of heard the hoofbeats of this, but Randy Mueller, old friend of mine who's been on the show many times, has been a consultant with the Saints for draft choices. So One thing with Randy, man, you can ask him a question about a player. He's like, Mike, I'm like you, brother. I know him. Yep. I know him. And, man, he spends a lot of time still today, even though he's not in the NFL, so to speak. He's still in the NFL evaluating players. When we come back, it'll be our Inside the Draft segment brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. We'll be back with that right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss, Charlie Long in studio. It's our Inside the Draft segment brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. Guys, we've talked about this in a number of different ways, but I do think tomorrow you're going to see anywhere from 8 to probably maybe 11 trades in round one. Mike, you and I were talking about this because we've talked to different people that have run the Saints throughout the years, and even coaches that they do fall in love with a player. Okay, you can say don't do that, but you know what? It does happen. You fall in love with a player and you say, that's the guy I want, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to get him. You know, Mike Ditka fell in love, too, with Ricky Williams. He gave up a draft, and then he went play golf with my uncle. And then the next year, he gave up a second-round pick, too. So my thing with it is, I think there's going to be double digits as far as trades are concerned, with teams maneuvering around. And I think late in the draft, teams trying to get back up into round one, you have an extra – year, that fifth-year option, especially if one of the quarterbacks are still hanging there, like a Bo Nix is still there, or you figure, man, I'm picking 41. I'm not going to get that guy. Let me try to maneuver up to get him at 30 or 29.
Yeah, so last year we had what? We had 6 first-round trades, 9 the year before that. And so I asked Mickey this yesterday.
The over.
Right. I asked this to Mickey yesterday because I was just curious. I'm like, because you talk to GMs. One, can you anticipate? Can you see it coming? Like, I'm talking to all these GMs, and they're all, you know, I don't know how much truth's being told by everybody, but do you feel like, man, there's going to be trades? Or you get one of these, S moments, and all of a sudden, and now it changes everything. Now we start this trade run that maybe wasn't going to happen, but something strange happens. A team does something that nobody was expecting. Now everybody panics, and all of a sudden we got, you know, trade after trade after trade because, like you say, teams fall in love with the player.
Charlie, I think you had something.
Mike, you said 10 trades?
I think it'll be 10.
In the first round?
Yeah, I think it'll be 10.
That's incredible.
Because you know what? I think maneuvering around to get – I think wide receivers are positioned. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a guy. And if Roma Dunze maybe goes a little bit farther than we think, that could happen. But I think some of this is going to be for the offensive tackle position.
That's kind of the report, is that a bunch of teams are supposed to be trading up for tackles. So, I mean, at that point, let's, I guess, start looking at some of these trade-up spots. The first and foremost, you had it in your mock, Mike. I think it's almost clear that it's going to happen. Is that Minnesota is going to trade up into the top 5 to get their quarterback of the future. They have the trade ammunition to do it, 2 first-round picks this year. We've talked about the Cardinals at pick 4. Makes sense for them to trade down. They're rebuilding their roster. You could be looking at pick 11, pick 23, and pick 27. That's 3 top 27 picks to start rebuilding that roster, as I mentioned. The Chargers, I mean, they want to get tougher.
That's another deal.
They want to build on the lines. They want to get a top offensive tackle. They could get one at pick 11 and get a top defensive tackle at pick 23. That makes sense to me as well. a couple different spots as well. If you're looking at the Chicago Bears, we kind of all project Roma Dunze, the wide receiver from Washington, going there. But that could be a trade-up spot, the pick before them, the Atlanta Falcons. If someone wants to go snag a Dunze, the Falcons could trade back and still get a really solid defensive player later on in the first.
Yeah, because for me, there are two big holes for the Falcons. And that's an edge rusher and another cover corner. And when you think about maybe that run on tackle start, and maybe the guy out of pick at 8 might be there at 12. Maybe the same exact same guy, and I picked up some draft capital along the way also. And so you're guessing at that, but I do think Atlanta is a spot at 8. The other spot is 10 with the Jets.
Yeah.
Right. Where, you know, does somebody really like Brock Bowers?
You're going to pick after the run on quarterbacks and whatever, you're taking a tight end.
You take 10. A tight, because really Brock is really like another receiver.
He's a receiver, right.
He's really another receiver there. Or is that the spot somebody says, man, I see this run. I'm picking 18 or 20. I want to get the tackle because that guy's not going to fall to me. And so I got to move up to get him.
Well, what if the Chargers, this is always I thought about, what if they stay at 5 and take Alt? What if Harbaugh says, I'm going to protect, and now all of a sudden you got Tennessee
at
7.
Be a lot of angry people in Tennessee.
You got Tennessee at 7. Who they're still going to go O-line. Now it's like what you're talking about. Now you got this, oh, my gosh, we got two guys going to the first 7.
But do they go O-line at that point?
Because now.
Do they go receiver?
Titans? Tennessee. Oh, man, I picked Malik Nabers.
That's
I run
what I'm
to the table.
If Alt is gone at that point, would they go tackle or would they go receiver? I think that's kind of an interesting question, especially if Nabers is there or maybe even Odunze. Like, I've heard the comp of Odunze to DeAndre Hopkins. Who better to learn from DeAndre Hopkins than the man himself, right?
So the other thing with the Chargers in picking Alt, you have an all-pro left tackle already in Rashawn Slater. Kind of what do you do there? I think Jim – and I told this to Charlie yesterday. He knows the college game and players better than any other coach in this draft class now because he's been involved with a lot of those guys. I think that he might have a right tackle that he likes. And it might be Fuaga, might be J.C. Latham, because that's where they play. On the right side, I already got a left guy, and then I would get another first-round pick. I could maybe get me another pass rusher. Maybe get me a wide receiver. Again, this is the intrigue of the draft because you're projecting where you're going to get that guy. And it's sort of moving chess pieces all across the board.
So if the Chargers and let's say Chargers-Vikings swap, right?
Yeah.
And so Minnesota gets their quarterback. Chargers go back to 11. Now you go 11 Chargers. Broncos 12, Raiders 13. Those three teams are also talking
trade down spots, yeah.
Offensive line guys, right? Not automatically.
Every one of them.
And the Saints are at 14. Now I'm like, so it's like it's great to be where you are at 14, but if you told me you're going to have this run on quarterbacks, run on wide receivers, probably a tight end, maybe a defensive edge rusher, and you feel like I'm good for an offensive lineman, but maybe not. I mean, you're going to get a good guy, but, man.
Maybe not the guy you
maybe
want.
Maybe not the guy, and we'll probably never know. Right?
And now does Vegas become a trade-down spot for a team that wants to, as you were mentioning, calling up from, let's say, the 20 range. Let's say, like, Cincinnati falls in love with a tackle, like Fautanu or Fuanga or someone like
well,
that.
You can see the Broncos and Raiders are sort of playing cat and mouse with one another.
Yeah.
The leak of this guy, the Broncos now love they love Penix.
There's okay. Also leaks about the Giants loving
the
Penix.
Giants.
This is smoke screen
and
season.
So,
it happens all the time.
You see the maneuvering here because they picking sort of back-to-back. And I think they may want the exact same guy. And so now we're going to play that little game here on who plays kind of chicken last with it. But I do think the reality of offensive linemen coming off that board from 10 to 17 is real, that they are going to peel off of there quickly.
And I wouldn't be stunned if the Saints go from 14 up a few spots, something 11, 10, 9, and, you know, not to give not the world to get the guy they want. That's what they've done. They wanted Olave, they moved up. They got Olave. They get the guy they wanted. If it means move it up, Mickey talked about, he even got as far as 8. which is Atlanta. I don't think that's going to happen.
That ain't happening. That,
but at 9, you know, it's different with Chicago. That they, I can see it. I can see going from 14 up just a few spots to get the guy they want.
The other thing, too, guys, is I think in a class that doesn't have a lot of people in it, they become more valuable. I look at the defensive tackle position. And my number one guy, Charlie and I have talked about this, Byron Murphy, the second from Texas. Okay, everybody made a big thing about Trevante Sweat. And he's a good player. He's a massive guy for Texas. He's 370-plus pounds. Man, he's a good time Charlie type of guy. And he admits it. Man, I've had a lot of good times at Texas, and I sort of curbed my ways. Then he gets a DUI. So that's going to kind of drop his stock. But why he got free a lot? Teams were double-teaming Byron Murphy. If you watch film, you see they're not double-teaming Sweat. They double-teaming Byron because he's the guy you fear. And it opened up things for Sweat, and he made plays one-on-one. He really made the plays, but Byron was catching hell because he was catching two blocks. I'm telling you, Byron Murphy, the second, is a guy that a lot of teams really, really like.
Ton of late buzz on him being the first defensive player off the board, guys. And I think, like, if we were talking about this a week ago, we would have all anticipated, yeah, Atlanta's going to take an edge rusher, and that's going to be the first defensive piece taken, whether that's Dallas Turner, whether that's Jared Verse, whether that's Laiatu Latu. But at this point, I mean, Mike, there is a lot of smoke coming out about Byron Murphy being that first defensive player.
I think they want somebody to bite.
Maybe so.
I think they want somebody to bite there because I can say anything, and people will write it. You got these national guys, they tell you anything. I've been dealing with agents way too long, and I believe about 2% of what they tell me. It's not that they lying, but they don't tell you the truth, I guess is the best term to use with it. But I do think the maneuvering for specific players are going to happen. And we brought this up earlier by Brian Thomas, a junior from LSU. He's another guy. Once the three receivers come off the board and Brock Bowers is off the board, watch the logjam of teams saying, man, we got to move up to get Brian Thomas. Is that team Buffalo, who just dealt off Stephon Diggs?
Yep.
Would Kansas City even think about it?
Gabe Davis left, too. Their wide receiver room is barren, Mike. It's Khalil Shakir and a bunch of no-names. I actually know they got Curtis Samuel. So
yeah, they did get Curtis.
They got Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir. They still need a guy. They need a dude there. So if they want to trade up, you know, maybe if another guy, if Roma Dunze falls a little bit, they could trade up a little bit higher and maybe take him. I think Brian Thomas Jr. to Buffalo makes all the sense in the world. But to your point, they'd probably need to trade up around that 16 range with, like, Seattle or maybe 17 with the Jaguars.
And if I'm Seattle, I'm the biggest liar of the bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you sit right smack dab in the middle of the first round and say, man, you know, I could use this guy, I could use that guy, use this guy. And if there's a surprise pick, it wouldn't shock me if Penix is still on the board, would Seattle pick Penix? Because, okay, you're not engraved in stone here with Sam Howell. What? Come on, he ain't starting for me. Geno Smith's been sort of a one-year guy, and you bring him back for another season, and I got Michael Penix Jr. waiting in the wings. He's from that area.
Can't you see it, though?
I could see it.
I could see Penix being on the board still then.
I could see Penix, and, man, with those receivers, man, I want to play on that Seattle team if I'm a quarterback.
Hey, Penix has some good receivers at Washington, too.
And he's going to get some in Seattle.
Right, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me as well, Mike. I had that in my mock. No trades or anything. He's just there at 16, and Seattle just takes him. I don't know. Like, there's a couple players that could fall. Like, Brock Bowers is a big question mark because I think if he gets to 15 with the Colts, he's not falling past 15. The Colts are going to take him. So, I mean, for the Saints fans that want to trade down, if they, you know, if there's any of those left, like if that happens and he's there at 14, it's almost a win-win. We've talked a little bit about this. You can either take, you know, Brock Bowers potentially, or some team will get really antsy and want to leapfrog the Colts for him and give you a call, give you a big offer, and they go get him at pick 14.
The other thing too is where do three pass rushers fall? Okay, with Dallas, with Jared Verse, what Liatu, where do they fall? Because, again, that's not an area where you got a bunch of guys. And so I think that sort of pushes them up the draft boards a little bit when you don't have a thick area. That's our Inside the NFL Draft segment is brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. It's our Bet 365 Triple Option segment. Mike D'Antonio along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss, Charlie Long, Steve Geller. Steve, I'm going to throw it to you first.
A little bit of big news for the LSU women's basketball team today. They made three big additions. Coach Kim Mulkey needed some guards to boost that backcourt and found them in the transfer portal. Miracle Shepherd coming to Baton Rouge after spending her freshman season at Mississippi State. You got Kaylin Gilbert, who spent the previous two seasons in Arizona. And also, Cheyenne Day Wilson is headed to LSU after spending a season at Miami and before that, two seasons at Duke. So they're joining, those three are joining transfer forward Jersey Wolfenberger and also Jada Richard, who was Louisiana's High School Player of the Year, as the five new additions for the Lady Tigers. So Kim Mulkey is loading up those Lady Tigers for another title run.
Kim working double overtime for all them players. Charlie?
Guys, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. The news broken today from ESPN's Adam Schefter. Pro Bowl defensive end Trey Hendrickson requested a trade, and right after that, Bengals franchise wide receiver T. Higgins also requested a trade. So huge trade request out of Cincinnati. And, you know, both of those decisions, Mike, I agree with you 100%. I think that they would probably prefer to pay Trey Hendrickson more and then move on from T. Higgins at that point. So what are you looking at in the draft? Are they going to stay going offensive tackle and offensive line? They need help up front, obviously, but at the same time, we're just talking about all the draft trades that we could see happening. I think if you're Buffalo or any team in the 20s or maybe early 30s even that wants to go secure someone like Brian Thomas Jr., you're going to now have to hop 18 with the Cincinnati Bengals, because if he's there, it just makes all the sense in the world for me for them to pick him.
Yeah, and he played at LSU.
Yeah, they do like their LSU boys, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's got that train rolling from Baton Rouge.
Shoot, you pair
Cincinnati.
Him up with Jamar there?
I would. What? I honestly would.
Right?
I'll never see double coverage again.
So that's kind of the
question,
that's
the way
though.
I feel about T. Man, I might see double coverage somewhere. I'm not seeing it here in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Very true.
I'd like the fit a lot. So if he's there at pick 18, Cincinnati's going to run to the, you know, Goodell and make that pick. They'll be super happy with it. I just have a feeling that one of those draft trades that you were talking about, Mike, if you see upwards of 10 of them happening, it might be to go secure someone like Brian Thomas Jr.
Guys, today the Lions, man, they shelled out some nice checks. Panay Sewell, the all-pro offensive tackle, signed a four-year, $112 million extension. Even more importantly, 85 of that 112 were guaranteed money. Man, so Panay Sewell got paid, and $85 million of the 112 in that four-year extension is guaranteed for Panay Sewell. And that was a great pick for them. Man, he's turned out to be one heck of a right tackle. And then they signed Amon-Ra St. Brown, a four-year, $120 million extension, $77 million of the 120 guaranteed, which would put him as the highest-paid wideout in the National Football League. Pretty
Hello.
Good.
Hey.
Pretty and, good, right?
And the Saints have the brothers.
Right.
Right? We have, you know. We got the brothers
Saint
of Panay
Brown.
Sewell and, yeah. and Equanimeous. So we got the brothers yeah. on that.
So I guess the brothers are buying the Saints brothers some lunch.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
I know who's buying. I know who's buying at this stage. What that means is the Ford Motor Company going to have to sell more cars. Okay, because you know who owns the Lions, the Ford Motor Company people. So they're going to have to sell a few more cars. But, man, the Lions, and that's the one thing that has changed over the last few years. What Brad Holmes has done there to construct a draft board and get Dan Campbell the right players for what he wants. And then you got to pay him afterwards. And today, when you're talking about $77 million in guaranteed for a receiver, $85 million for an offensive tackle, they've done it right. Hitting on those guys. Now, there's one more guy, and he wants to get paid, and that's the quarterback.
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is going to want to get paid. I've been told that they are working on a new deal for the veteran quarterback. to stay in Detroit.
Mike, that hurts you and I as fans of Hendon Hooker, but we'll have to deal with it because of the success.
Yeah. Well, Hendon got to deal with it. Okay, I'm a big fan of Hendon Hooker, and I hope he's healthy, and he is getting better with the knee and everything else. But, this is in Hendon's back pocket, and the way teams are looking for quarterbacks, man, you might get a nice little package if you decide to deal him off after the 2024 season.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
And you get him on a rookie contract.
As far as Dan Campbell goes, Mike, this is my last point about the Lions. You had Darius Robinson, the defensive end slash defensive tackle for Missouri, going to them in the first round at pick 29.
That makes, to me, the biggest
Darius Robinson is such a Dan Campbell type of guy, isn't he? Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're going to definitely draft on the Lions. I really like Jackson Powers Johnson there potentially as well, just so they get a young kind of center in the wings, so to speak.
You know who I thought right there, too? Zach Fraser.
I think Frazier's probably a second-round pick.
I think so, but, man, I thought about Frazier because, man, if there's a guy that's a Dan Campbell guy, he's a four-time high school champion wrestler.
I'd like to
see him and Dan get at it because I do know one thing. If you're a high school state championship wrestler, man, they can tie you up and bend you in a lot of different ways. So I did go with Darius Robinson. I think it makes a lot of sense. He can play end. He can play tackle. He's versatile. It reminds me so much of a young Wayne Martin. People remember Wayne Martin when he was with the Saints. He was one hell of a football player. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss, Steve Geller, Charlie Long in studio. We got a host of people in the 7 o'clock hour. Roy Cummings, who covers the Bucks, D. Orlando Ledbetter covering the Falcons, and Desmond Johnson, who covers the Panthers. They'll give us the insights on where those three teams in the NFC South are looking at. And also Ali Cosell covering the Pelicans at 6:25. But Charlie, great news for a former LSU Tiger basketball
player. LSU center Naz Reid wins the NBA's Sixth Man of the Year award, guys. It was a very highly contested award. Malik Monk was involved in it. He wins it. He had a great season, 13.5 points per game. Get this, 47.7% shooting, 41.4% from three-point range. That dude can shoot, guys.
Man, I told this to Steve. I mean, next time I see Will Wade, I'm going to tell him he messed him up.
Yeah.
He was not that type shooter at LSU.
He's got a great stroke for a big man.
He really, really does. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.